And she said, "Oh, this car's going to hit us." And I looked, and it happened so fast, and it was mist and rain. Sure enough, it hit us right behind my door.
T-bone.
We went round and round, and things started going by us, cars and stuff, a bus, a big truck. One of them knocked off her mirror on that side. Well, when we stopped going around, everybody was running to us because it looked bad. And she went to crank the car. I said, "Oh, Faye, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, if the car will crank, we're going to get groceries."
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Allie.
I'm Mimi.
And I'm Cody.
Straight from the free state of Winston. This is a product of the Deer Show. We went to the Deer Show this last weekend. Of course, this is a couple of weeks delayed from there. Had somebody come up to the booth and said, "Look, I know y'all probably get this all the time, but I got your next storyteller." I said, "Well, I'm going to need a phone number. I'm going to need something to be able to get in touch with them." We did one FaceTime call, and in the middle of the first story, all I said was, "When can you come to the shed yet?" That's all I needed. So tonight, what we got is the usual storytelling. We got a couple of shout outs that we're going to do tonight, excited about. And we also have a gift that we're going to share with everybody. So y'all get ready for a good time tonight, straight from Lynn, Alabama. If you don't know where that's at, you're fixing to find out a little bit more what's there. So Mimi, tell us our first story.
Okay. Well, we had pastor appreciation at my church where I go. I had cooked stuff all day. I mean, all day in the crock pots and stuff. So I was tired, and I thought, "I'm just going to lay down just a second on the couch." Well, I did, but I went to sleep. So I woke up, and it was like right at 10 o'clock. Boy, I throwed everything in my vehicle and took off. It's going up Highway 13, and golly, I met him. I was coming over the hill, and here he came. Blue lighted me. So they had been doing work on the road. I fell off on the side, and my dishes was rattling. And here he came. And he said, I was so nervous. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry that I was speeding. I know I was, but I've got Pastor Appreciation Day, and I've got to get to church, and I don't have time for this. But I reached over and got my insurance card and gave to him. He said, "Well, Miss Allred, do you have, I need your driving license." And I was just smiling, and I said, "Well, that's another problem. I don't have my driving license. Oh. I forgot my purse." And he said, "Well, do you know your driving license number?" I said, "Do I look like somebody that would know their driving license number?" I said, "No." I said, "Don't you have a thing in that your car back there on a little box that you can look all this up?" He said, "Well, yes, ma'am." And I said, "Okay." So he came back and had me a paper, of course. Mm. And I said, "I just really don't have time. I'm already late to get over to church." And I said, "You're more than welcome to come. We're clean." And I just smile. And then he would say, "Well, Miss Allred, you need to sign this." And, well, but before that, he said, "Do you have," when he went back to his car on that little box, he said, "Do you have a what kind of
Schnauzer?"
Schnauzer. I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do." And I said, "Do you?" He said, "Well, yes, I do." I said, "Well, does he bounce up and down?" He said, "Well, no, ma'am." I said, "Well, mine does." He said, "Well," and I knew, I mean, I'm a little slow sometimes, but I knew what he's talking about. He said, you know, you can get that fixed." I said, "I already have." I said, "Only thing happened, he talked in a little higher voice." Now, why in the flip would you say something like that to the cops? But I did. And so I said, "I really just don't have time for this. I have got to get to that church." He said, "Asked me about my seatbelt." But now I had it on when he stopped me, but that's the only thing I had. So he let me go on to church, and I had to talk. I had to read a book, and I had to keep pointing at it. I said, I've got to read that little book, short little book. And I got up in front of everybody, and I said, well, ain't God good? And I said, let me just tell y'all what happened to me. So I told my story, except I didn't say, he talked in a higher voice.
You left that part out.
I left that part out. I didn't think it would be appropriate for church.
He gave your sweet self a ticket.
Well, no. He gave me a warning ticket, and I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
God is good.
I thank God is good every day.
That's right.
Now, let's clarify this warning, though, because you got pulled over in a construction zone in a 35-mile-per-hour zone doing 70 with workers present, no license. No seatbelt.
You left that part out.
Well,
you were going 35 miles an hour of the speed limit.
Well, I was late.
Yeah, well, I get it. The pastor's hungry
for an important date.
Yeah, I had to read a book.
Pastor appreciation.
Yeah, I had
a job to do. You really appreciated that pastor's all I can say.
I did. But I got through the book, set myself down, and I was fine.
Now, you brought a cast iron skillet with you, and I love things that are cooked in cast iron skillets. What's that all about?
Well, I like cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came out with this stuff. It's called bacon. It's bacon grease. So you don't have to cook your own bacon, and it is really good. But I had to go to the grocery store, and I go to Huntsville on the Army base to the commissary. And I practiced all the way. Heather went with me. And she said, Mother, just let me drive. You're not going to be able to say that. Because they had a guard check that they checked everything. I said, no, you know how funny they are. So I just went, pulled up there. But now I just got worse and worse and worse on the commissary thing. So I kind of said it right, kind of. Well, this big guy comes out. And he has a gun. And I looked at him and it scared the fire out of me. Mm-hmm. He said, where are you going? I said, hospital. Because I knew if I could go to the hospital, I could get on base. So I went and got my groceries. That skillet just makes me think of the commissary.
So the hospital got you in to the commissary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
What was you going to do at the commissary?
Get groceries.
Oh, that's where you get groceries.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't
but
ever been on
it
base.
It just ain't commissary. It's
commissary.
That's the word.
But I mean, you know.
He knew.
He would have known exactly.
Yeah.
You'd have probably made his day.
Well,
it makes me smile.
Well, it didn't make him smile. He never smiled. That's why I got so nervous. And then he had a gun.
Yeah.
And that was scary.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was a scary.
Well, I've got a friend that would go with me sometimes. And we'd take time about driving. So she drove that time. And we got stopped at a little service station, got us something to drink. And I always keep my lid on my bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was driving with her drink and didn't have the lid on. And we went under an underpass, and this car was coming down. And she said, oh, this car's going to hit us. And I looked, and it happened so fast, and it was mist and rain. I looked, and sure enough, here it came. And she said, oh, I believe this car's going to hit us. Sure enough, it hit us right behind my door.
T-bone.
We went round and round, and things started going by us, cars and stuff, a bus, a big truck. One of them knocked off her mirror on that side. Well, when we stopped going around, everybody was running to us because it looked bad. And she went to crank the car. I said, oh, say, what are you doing? She said, well, if the car will crank, we're going to get groceries. I said, we've been in a bad wreck. They brought a truck to tow it. But it wouldn't row, so they had to go back to ARAB and get another thing to pull us up on the thing. We was coming back, and we'd always stop at Molden and get a thing of ice cream. I went to sleep, and she was sitting in the middle, and we looked like wet ducks. I mean, our hair was plastered. Hers was. Mine wasn't because it's curly and it just got fuzzy and stuck out. But I woke up and I saw that road. And I cut my eyes over her and I said, "Hey, Olafay, tell that guy to go and get us ice cream." She said, "I ain't going to do it." And we didn't get no ice cream.
No ice cream on this trip.
No.
I got to rewind just a little bit.
I was too long.
There's a lot.
No. Was she going to drive away before the cops got there?
Yes.
In a totaled car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's going to go get her groceries.
Yeah. On task. I mean, I'm a task-oriented person, but that's the next level.
Oh, y'all just don't know.
Did
y'all
she have a concussion?
No, we didn't. Okay. Hurt my knee a little tad. But we
can't blame a head injury on leaving the scene.
No. Oh, gosh.
That's just pure determination.
Yeah.
So, you know, saying bus, talking about a bus coming down, and this one involves you. Mimi here has got some friends, some very nice friends she has made. We live on one of the, I guess you could call it the main drags in Lynn. But every day, I'd hear a horn blow. I live right next door to her, and I was over there at her house one day and saw this bus come by, and she was out in her yard watering her garden. She had that hand throwed up, and she was just waving. Hello. I heard that horn too, and I said, "Man, who is this?" We turn around, and it's a white van headed down to the industrial park. And I said, "Do you know what the white van is?" And she said, "Well, no, I don't." And I said, "That's the Department of Corrections work release." I said, "We're right in the middle of their route." And she has made friends with all the work release inmates. I told her, I said, "You do realize that if an escape ever happens, they know
Mimi's.
Which house they're coming to."
Coming to Mimi's house. She's real nice.
To Mimi's house.
I thought it was a little lady, and I just waved. And then they got where they would come back after they picked everybody up. They'd come back, and Heather was out in the yard, his mom, and they blowed the horn. Oh, gosh. She liked to die. She was mad at me.
Oh, they
for making friends and being
yeah.
nice.
For making friends.
Yeah, I thought you supposed to do that.
I feel like we're friends. I ain't known you no time.
That's right. That's
Bible
right.
says if you're going to have friends, you better find yourself friendly, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I'm friendly.
Is that a verse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It sure does sound good. I
think it sounds real good. That's just like the old cleanliness is next to godliness, but I ain't found it in there yet. You looking it up?
A man that hath friends must show himself friendly.
That's right.
Where is
Proverbs
that?
Proverbs 18:24.
Oh, right. Proverbs.
Proverbs. Well, I stand corrected. Mr. Biblical Scholar, man, I appreciate
that. The church me and Allie go to, we're doing a Bible study right now called 40 Reasons Why People Don't Like You. And the majority of it comes out of the book of Proverbs. And
it's brutal.
It has been very 40 good.
40 reasons people don't like you. Is there only 40? I got a whole list of why people don't like you. But it's just 40. You're doing pretty good. Yeah, that's all you can get to. You mentioned water bottle.
Uh-huh.
In the car. Everybody drinks water out of a water bottle now. We went down to Panama City the year after I graduated. As soon as we got done with classes in May, loaded up, got us a hotel room, went down there. And we were driving down the strip that night. You know, that's what everybody does. You get in the car, you drive up and down the road after dark. Well, I dipped Copenhagen. I had an absolute affinity for it. I dipped it all the time when I was younger. And so there was two water bottles sitting in the console. Well, I was using one to spit, and the other one was just a regular water bottle. We drove around, come back. When we parked the car, the owner of the car told me, "Get that bottle out of here." Well, that was 3 seconds later. I've already forgotten. She said, "Get the water bottle out of there." I just went in there and went to sleep. Didn't think nothing about it. I was awakened the next morning to a door flinging open like they were doing a SWAT. I rose up out of the bed and I looked at her, and she had on a white t-shirt that was nothing but Copenhagen brown all the way down the front of it. She didn't notice the difference between the two water bottles there in the console. Oh. So she just picked up the wrong one. She had a 50% chance.
Oh, my.
Took a big old swig. And as soon as she realized what it was, it didn't go no further. It went out. She was furious. I'm talking about the sleep was over. The new day had begun. There was no going back to sleep after that. She still remembers that and reminds me of it.
I can't blame her. I would probably still remember it too.
But if I'm going to, maybe it's because I'm trained from all those years, but I'm going to look before I, if I'm going to be
drinking. See, that's not something I think about.
Well, she wasn't thinking about it either because she wasn't a Copenhagen dipper.
I guarantee you she will check bottles from here on out.
She probably hadn't skipped a beat since, honestly.
Probably not.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I carried Cody and my other grandson, Casey, to the mountains, and we had a little cabin. And at the end of the week, Heather and Shane and Watson, their little dog, came up. Well, Heather sat down. Now, I've had the boys all week on the go. And beat them playing putt-putt golf. I was as tough all week. So I was give out. Well, Heather was sitting there eating a caramel apple. She said, cutting it with a knife. And she said, Mother, I hadn't had much sleep. And I've taken two of my sleeping pills. It's Ambien, which that's bad stuff. But I take Ambien. And I thought, well, if you took two, I could take two. And since y'all are here to help with boys.
Now, Get caught back up.
Yeah. Do what?
Get caught back up.
Well, during the night, it was cold, so cold. I had a long pink house coat. The boys said I shimmied with my little belt. The Ambien had kicked in. Went and sat on the potty. But I went out the wrong door, and I went to their room where Heather and Shane was and Watson was asleep. Heather said, Mother, get in the bed. Go and get in the bed. And they said I was just pawing at the covers and jumped over Heather and got in the middle of the bed of them.
Well, they told you to get in the bed.
Yeah, I did. I done what they said, but I asked Shane again. He said, lay down, Francis. They said, I lay down and started snoring, and Shane started inching out of the bed. And Heather said, Shane, what are you doing? He said, there's something wrong with this story. The situation said, if I'm sleeping with my wife and my mother-in-law at the same time and I don't have a T-shirt on. He got up and went in the other room. Well, when I woke up, I was by myself. It was morning time. And I walked to another door and opened, and he was laying on a air mattress. He just turned and looked at me, and I just shut the door back. I was so humiliated. That liked to kill me.
Now, let's provide some perspective to that. Because I was also in the cabin.
I know.
Were you on Ambien as well?
I was not. Okay. I was not. I do not partake of Ambien.
Yeah, okay. Was Watson also on
Watson was not. maybe. Myself and my cousin, Casey, we were in the living room. That was our quarters as the kids.
How old were you?
I was 15.
18.
Okay. 15. Yeah.
So he had taken the couch, and I was on a half-inflated air mattress in the floor. And she got up and did a load of laundry, and I was saying the same thing from outside the master bedroom, get in the bed. Well, then she is not lying. She did a shimmy in her robe and said, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then I'm going to go to bed. I said, well, that'd be a good idea. Well, about 45 minutes later, we are still up waiting on her to lay down where we know she's somewhere secure for the night. And she has not reappeared. And I said, Casey, I think she might be asleep on the toilet. or something in there. Well, about that time, Dad busted out of the master bedroom, slammed the door, and climbed on the half-inflated air mattress with me. And I said, found her, cut the lights off. Let's go to bed. She's in there. Let's go to bed.
It was bad.
Do you have any recollection of any of these claims made against you?
No. No, other than when I woke up.
In the wrong bed.
I was in the wrong bed and I had a queer feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. That ambulance will get you.
Yeah.
Is it possible that they are true, these claims?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you're not denied. No. No memory, but no denial either.
No. No. And I told him, I said, y'all better not tell nobody, which I told everybody. I thought.
Yeah, now you really have.
Yeah, don't tell nobody.
Yeah, while y'all don't tell nobody. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody know now, but it was all good. Just so here's the takeaway for me. One Ambien's probably good.
No,
your prescribed dose. Yeah, you go two, especially when it's not your, that's not your dose.
Yeah.
You're opening yourself up for.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
So can I go ahead? I do not want to leave Gatlinburg though.
Then you need to go ahead.
I need to go ahead. 14 years ago, Bethany had the idea for us to take a little family vacay, just us two and our oldest daughter, who was 9 months old at the time. And she was kind of getting better, so I was okay with traveling with her. We got us a little one bedroom cabin right at the bottom of the hill of Gatlinburg. Like literally as soon as this cabin, then just right up the street is where all the things started. We roll up. It's looking really good down this little mountain path. It's beautiful. There's our cabin. But right next to the cabin are some what looks to be abandoned apartments. So much so that I didn't even know if they were inhabited. And literally, the parking lot's the same. It's shared with these apartments. So the first thing, I'm already uneasy because I didn't carry a pistol or anything. I didn't even think about that. Didn't see anybody, so we start unloading. I unload all the luggage, unload the dog crate, because of course we got a little dog that we carried. And here's the thing about the cabin. You had to go up the stairs on the side of it, go behind the cabin and around the cabin to get in it. There's no straightaway in it. You have to go, and it's nothing but cabin, porch, mountain. Soon as I get everything unloaded, the last load, lock the car, Madeline's crawling around in the floor down there in the bottom. Bethany's putting up some stuff. I'm standing in the kitchen. There's blinds, door just like that, a 6-pane half window door. It's got blinds coming down it. And I see a man at the door. Nobody has business at this cabin but us. And I look out the little, where the string goes through the blinds. I'm looking through one of those little holes in the string, and that guy is looking all around. He's looking behind him. He's looking over the porch. He's checking out to see if anybody's watching him. I don't have the first pistola, but I do have two of my most prized possessions on the other side of the door.
That's right.
I turn. I'm in the kitchen, and there's a butcher block filled with knives. I get the biggest knife in the butcher block, and I have a death grip on it. At this point, I'm Maximus Aurelius. I mean, you know, I'm ready to go. I didn't tell them. I think I told Bethany, you know, get Mal and go to the bedroom. And I'm standing there on the other side of that. If the door weren't there, we're less than a foot apart. The glass is the only thing between us. And I'm holding that knife just like this. He turns and now he does the same thing that I was doing to him. He's going to look through one of those little holes and try to see in it. And I see him look in. And the first thing that he sees is that shiny blade. And he looks up and then he sees my eyeball. And I just see him just move back. And I said, I was just ready. I said, do I open the door and go to him? I said, no, I think that breaks the law. He's going to have to come into me if I'm not going to get in trouble for this. But I'm ready. I mean, my heart's beating out of my chest. Nothing happens. I look out there. I can't see him anymore. Remember, there's only one way in and one way out. And there's a window that goes down the stairs. I never saw him go past. So I told Bethany, I said, I've got to go out there. I think he's on the backside of the house. Open up the door. I'm wielding the knife. I go around. He's not back there. He's not down the steps. I look up the hillside. I do a quick SWAT search around the house. I don't know where the man went. To this day, I don't know. But the first thing that I did is I went back in the house. I said, you call whoever it is that you rented this thing from and you tell them, we're out. We are not staying here at all. So she calls. The lady's super apologetic. We've never had any trouble there, but we believe you. Come get a key. I've got a place for y'all to stay. Load everything back down to the car. We load up, go to the office. She hands us the key, gives us the address. We go up there. A 9-bedroom house.
Oh, my.
With arcade, like a this well over $1,000 a night place. And that's where we stayed for the next 3 nights in Gatlinburg.
That's hillbilly heaven.
And the last thing that happened, last night, we're going home the next morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what goes off in that house?
The fire of the
burglar alarm.
Burglar alarm.
Mm.
I told Bethany, I said, I don't care. Just go get in the car. Just go get in the car. We are leaving Gatlinburg, and I don't know when we're ever going to come back to Gatlinburg. And we didn't travel for a little while after that. That'll mess you up. I've never had a travel incident in my life anywhere I've ever been, but that one left a mark. And we didn't travel alone for a little while after that. I'd love to know where that man went because I'm telling you, it's just like he vanished.
On the last one she told, she was telling about, she tells everybody everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is not an understatement. She tells everybody everything.
Mimi's an open book.
She is. She is a very open book. Myself and Allie have joked of when we do have a kid, we might have to hold off for just a second, you know, on the announcement.
Oh.
But not really. I'm just
She's just excited to tell everybody.
That's right. That's right. She's proud.
Excited for everything.
Well, when they got Cody bought her a ring. And me and three other women always go out and eat on Saturday night. And they were telling about their kids doing this and that and their grandkids. And one of them was getting married. And I thought, nobody. I looked around. I didn't see anybody I knew that could run their mouth. And I said, y'all can't tell nobody. They said they wouldn't. I said, Cody's got Allie a ring, and he's going to ask her to marry him. And I don't know what happened, but I looked around at the back of me, and his best friend was sitting there.
Who did know?
But I didn't know this. And then they're married now. And I said, oh, don't tell nobody. Don't tell Heather that I told this, because boy, she told me I better not.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I won't. But I wanted to be in that little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who sticks their head around the corner with go boxes but Heather? And I knew they would tell her. I knew, and I thought it'd be better for me to tell her than have them to tell her. And I told her. Her veins stuck out on her neck. She was so mad at me.
Corey. Yeah, Corey, my best friend. I love hearing his side of this story because they call themselves the Red Hat Club, and they're in the middle. This is not just a regular social scene. They're in the middle of a steakhouse that is well beyond capacity every Saturday night.
What's the name of it?
Yampertown in Winfield, Alabama.
That's the name of the restaurant is Yampertown?
And Yampertown. It's good.
It is delicious. But she is sitting, and when you imagine communal places in a steakhouse, I want you to picture the salad bar.
Oh yeah,
because they are quite near to the salad bar.
Is this a help yourself?
Yes, yeah. This is a fine salad bar.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's there. And Corey said, I waited until I got done hearing her telling the story. He said, and I just gently leaned my head out. Looked at her and said, you're busted. He said, and about that time, Heather, my mother, rounds behind me and was hot.
She didn't. You had not told your mom?
No, I had told my mother.
She told me and told me her I couldn't not tell to tell nobody.
And she's just told the entire steakhouse,
I didn't. I whispered it just to them.
I love you to death. I'll fight for you, but you learned how to whisper in a helicopter.
Can you show us? Show us how you whispered it.
Give us an example.
Yeah.
Cody's got Allie a ring. And he's fixing to give it to her. He's fixing to ask her to marry him. Yeah. And I'm thrilled to death.
And I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
It's hard not to tell something you're excited about.
When everybody else is telling something about their kids, you won't brag on your kids.
That's right.
I went.
I'm the only one that's got kids, I think.
Talking about, and it's just a sign of love. That just means that's how we know that you love us and you're proud of us. So when I brought that ring home, I went over to her house and showed her because I live right next door. So I went over to her house and I said, look at this ring I've got, Allie. She's, man, that's so pretty. Can I see it? And I said, yeah. So here. So she takes this ring and Allie's got little bitty fingers and she just goes whop, all the way down to the last knuckle.
Hubs it down.
And then just.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, don't tell me that ring is stuck on your finger.
I had to lick and do everything to get that off.
So she's licking her finger. I said, get some butter. Don't lick it.
I did. I licked the fire out of it.
I got to give this to the woman I want to marry.
About to tore my finger off, too. Let me tell y'all something else. I am a good daughter. I love my mom. My mom's been gone for a long time, but I was a good daughter. Carried her to the chiropractor doctor, and she said,
"I don't know. We need to tell that.
Do I need to tell this?
Sure.
I don't even know. I'm happy for you to tell it.
Yeah, you tell it.
Okay.
Alice says yes.
We go in and we know the lady that takes you back to go on the table. Well, mm-hmm. I always went in with mother. She said she could do it, so I sat down, crossed my legs, and got a book. And about that time, the lady that carried her back came to the door. She said, your mom's wanting to see you back there. Well, when I went down the hall, I could see her head turned out, sticking out the door. When I got in there, she was doing this. And she said, quick, give me your panties. And being the good daughter that I was, I pulled my pants off. And pulled my panties off and gave them to mother. They was going to x-ray her, and she had daddy's underwear on. So I gave her my panties. But never seen them to this day. I don't know what she done with them. Throw them away, I guess. But
if I ever let somebody borrow some of mine, I'm not going to ask for them
back either. No, but I just often wonder.
I just often wonder
where they were. But yeah. That's what I'm a good daughter. I was a good daughter.
There's no doubt about it.
That was big. Huh?
For an X-ray?
Yeah, you know that they can't see underwear on an X-ray, right?
Mother didn't. She's
not being able to see every bit of this, so I'm going to go do something different.
Yeah. So
I'm seeing the blue and yellow Fruit of the Loom.
No, they were Hanes.
Hanes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of where I was at. Whitey tidy, blue, yellow. You remember?
I do. Yeah. And Tanya's son-in-law, his mother, we were always real close to her for mother's birthday. You know what? They got her a big pack of Hanes underwear, and she was tickled to death.
And these are mine. Now she don't have. She could write her name on it and wouldn't have to change.
Right.
She
had a drawer full of panties, but she
preferred them.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, she did.
Maybe they're more comfortable.
And so, yeah, they were. I reckon.
Teach his own.
Yeah.
But, you know, you took it to the next level. I've always heard, I give you the shirt off my back. But there ain't many people that'll
give you draws.
Give you the underbridges.
But I loved my mama.
There's no doubt.
I didn't question her right at first. Mm. And then when I put my pants back on, I said, what's going on?
What has happened?
Yeah. She said they're going to x-ray me, and I got burly shorts on.
Mm. You shared another story about your mom with me on our Discovery FaceTime call about a time, and it had to do with clothes too. Y'all were washing some clothes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, I was little, young, real, mm-hmm. real young. And she had a Wrangler washing machine. And you had to, I think it moved. I don't really know on the clothes, but you had to stick them in that thing and run it, and it was brand new. She'd gotten a new one. And Daddy's sister had told me, And you don't tell a kid this, but she said, if you ever get your arm stuck in it, all you got to do is jerk up. Well, mother went in and she told me, she said, don't touch the washing machine. Well, I did. I stuck my finger and it did. And it did this right here. And they had to lance it. And do,
so take me, you stuck your finger in and then obviously it just.
It rolled up and then it just started spinning because it couldn't get over my elbow. So I had to go to the doctor and they lanced it. And I had, back then, that was a long time ago because y'all all young. I had to, we didn't, they, I don't reckon they made slings because I had to keep it up. I had a diaper around my neck.
It's a baby diaper.
Yeah. But it was up.
Makeshift sling.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And baby diapers is a lot different back then. We think of today, a baby diaper is the cottonish, paperish thing, but that was just a cloth.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yep.
Allie, are you?
I
is
didn't
that,
know that.
You didn't know that.
I'm not from here.
I ain't from here. I well, thought that was universal there for a while, yeah. Miss Allie. What you meant to say is, I'm not very old. That's what you meant to say.
Parts. No, I'm really not. I've never even heard that before. A cloth diaper?
Yeah.
That's all they had.
I was raised in cloth diapers.
Yeah.
I was raised in California. We had fancy pants.
She taught. I'm slow talking. I called her phone one day, and her answer machine came on, but it says, hey, this is Allie, but it's blah, 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 blah. And it scared fire out of me. I just hung up my phone.
Don't want to talk to anybody.
It was so fast, she just hung up.
I didn't know.
Miss Allie, when she first moved to the state of Alabama, had a little faster cadence than everybody out here does.
You've hit the brakes a little bit.
I've had to. When we first started dating and talking, I would just get excited, and I would talk to him, and he would just stare at me like, and he said, just go ahead and say everything you did, Slower.
Well, what brought you here? Tell us that story.
I had some friends move out to Tuscaloosa, Northport area, and I, everything is so much cheaper here. So they were able to sell their house in California, buy their house, pay off all their debts, buy a boat, buy a jet ski, and still have money left over. So they ended up buying a really big house, and they had a lot of rooms, and they needed help moving out. So I drove one of their cars out here, and I was like, man, this is so nice out here. And I loved it. And so they were like, well, if you ever want to move out here, we've got tons of room. And so I was like, well, maybe. So I came out for a summer and it was, I just loved it. I just fell in love with it. And
here we are.
Gosh, yeah. And then I ended up in Winston County, Alabama.
We went from California to the free state.
Mm-hmm. Free state of Winston?
Yes. That was a culture shock and a half.
No, you don't mean that.
This house is on the road.
You met Mimi.
Yeah.
You talking about when they pull Mimi a double-wide trailers down the road?
I'd never seen that.
Really? You'd never seen a mobile home.
I took so many videos when I moved here and sent them back to family. It was like, look, there is a house on the road.
They probably still call them in Winston County trailers.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, trailers. See, and we don't have trailers where I grew up. Trailers.
I call it our house, but.
Yeah, we don't have trailers. Trailers, I mean, not to sound ugly, but trailers are where, like, you know.
Tread
carefully.
Yeah. Trailers are just not houses where I come from. You know, people don't live in them. And so when I told my family we were buying one, she was like, are you sure you're okay?
Now, wait a minute. I'm interested. You're telling me wherever you were from in California, no one lived in a mobile home.
I didn't even know what a manufactured home was. I knew that there was trailers.
Now listen, this is the Malibu area of California.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
It's real nice out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have been there. It's very nice.
Yeah. I took him to Rodeo Drive, and calls it
Rodeo Street. Rodeo Street out there. Can't tell me that place ain't country. They got a Rodeo Street.
Yeah.
They wear the shoes all the time out there, don't they?
I went out there one time. I drove down Rodeo Street one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was different than the movies. Well, it was just, I was expecting fireworks show, seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger's walking down the street, and
you
it was not
see
that.
But sometimes you see way more than you want to see.
Mm.
Now this was 2000.
You can also see that in Winston County.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ask Mimi.
Yeah.
She can probably tell you. Yeah. A lot of experiences.
You know how we used to celebrate Halloween at Lynn? They threw eggs and rode people's yards.
Oh yeah.
We had a plant down the road, and they would let you off if like through the week, if Halloween fell on that day, we got off at dinner. People did.
So you could get prepared.
Get home. Get out of Lynn. It was so bad.
Wait a minute.
Get out of Lynn.
Out of Lynn.
Not to go home and get ready to accept trick-or-treaters, to actually depart.
Right. Right.
You're going to have to give me something more. Take me to that place. That's crazy.
Well, gosh, it would be bad. They would be just gobs and gobs of people. And like the trains came through at a certain time and they knew when it did and they would egg it.
Egg the train.
Yeah.
Just destructive
behavior.
That appears
like a federal offense to me, but.
Cops would come, but everybody would scatter. You know, they didn't get caught.
Just everybody lost their mind one night of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's Halloween.
I mean, I understand, and that brings on a whole other level, but what she's describing to me sounds pretty scary.
Oh, it wasn't scary.
Have you ever been in Lynn on Halloween?
No.
That's a good point.
I might get an armored car and head down there this year and see what it's all about.
Oh, it's quiet, it don't do that no more.
It's a very nice community now.
Yeah. It was
been
then.
Reformed.
And you know who was
the
in
Lord's
the...
Lord's got a hold of them.
Yeah. You know who was in the... middle of it, my family. I had three brothers and a sister. Yeah.
That's true.
Did you ever partake in the shenanigans?
Maybe? No, I really didn't throw an egg. I watched.
Watched a lot of them?
Yeah.
Did you hand anybody some when they ran out?
I've done toilet paper. I didn't do it. I've given toilet paper.
I got a Halloween one.
Come on.
From Lynn. Some of my best friends from high school, when the movie It came out, if you fellas remember the movie It,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really scared of it, but I also didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just don't want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got the bright idea, instead of toilet paper in our house one night, that they were going to hang red balloons all in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
The three young men that did it, there was two perpetrators and a getaway driver. And we lived right next door to the Baptist church there in the middle of Lynn. And so the getaway driver parked right there at the Baptist parking lot, as a good getaway driver should, and they slipped over into the yard with a handful of balloons. Well, my father had told them, if you try to do something out here in the yard, I'm liable to pop a shot at you, you know, or something. Just if you're in the yard in the middle of the night.
My property.
This is your fair warning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of those balloons, as they were hanging it, touched a limb. And it popped.
Kapow.
And the initial reaction. And now he hasn't left the bed.
Your dad.
My dad has not left the bed. He doesn't even know they're in the yard. But their initial reaction is Shane is firing shots at us. Mm-hmm. He has shot the balloon out of my hand, and we've got to go. So they start dropping balloons, and they start popping more as they hit the ground. So now we're in a full-on firefight.
We have an automatic weapon out here. We have
entered the danger zone. And the getaway driver does not know that these are only balloons either. So he fires the truck up, but doesn't take the time to cut his headlights on to peel out to go get the boys because they are being shot at. He's got to go.
In the dark.
And he runs smack into the ditch right there at the church parking lot, busts his bumper all up, slides in there and gets them. Well, the next day, we were still in high school. Next day at school, they said, y'all are nuts for shooting at us like that. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, y'all were shooting them balloons and everything. I said, we never shot at y'all. And then we started putting two and two together, balloons popping here and there. And they all watched the show, so they'll know this story after they hear it. But they told on themselves after that of, of who did it, who was involved, and what they did. Mm-hmm.
They pulled a Mimi at the restaurant.
They did. Yeah.
They went to telling the news.
Yeah.
Spreading the word.
Yeah. My brother, we all have speech problems. We don't talk plain. A lot of words. But he was in grammar school real, maybe first, second grade. And they lived down on a farm. I wasn't born then. They lived on a farm. And they would have to walk over the railroad track. And there was some more people that lived around there. And they would all walk across the railroad track and catch the bus and go. Well, they came in that day. And one of the kids told mother, said, that the teacher told Wallace he couldn't come back to school anymore till he learned to talk. And so the next day, mother and daddy took Wallace to school. Mother went in with the teacher. There wasn't no kids in there at that time. Mother went in with the teacher, and daddy held the door shut, and she beat the fire out of that teacher. And Wallace, from then on, got to go to school. The principal came down trying to get in, and daddy wouldn't let him in. But
she laid hands on
him. Oh, she whipped her.
Not spiritually.
Had an assault charge.
They whooped her. No, they didn't do anything like that. But mother beat the fire out of her, they said. But Wallace went to school every day, and she never said anything about his talking.
She just let that slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to mess with Mimi's mama.
No.
She was legit. A good woman.
But she was going to take care of that Wallace.
She was a mama hen.
Well, let's take a little break in storytelling and see what gift we got this week. And I want you to know that I did wear my pants that have my pocket knife in them.
It's good because mine is at the house.
Oh, well, look at that. Let's just see how things work out sometimes. Uh-oh, this looks like some sauce.
Sauce for your niggas.
What else we got?
Ooh-hoo. Oh, y'all have got it good.
Man, yeah. Let's see what we got. Porcupine. This is Timber Barbecue Company. Got a pork blend. All blend. That's Stumps. The Woodpecker Poultry Blend. White Pine Alabama white sauce. Ooh.
I bet that's good.
You're talking about good on smoked chicken.
Yeah.
And then a Palmetto Gold. Well, hey, we appreciate it. We always are so thankful that people are kind enough to send us a gift. Let me read the business card here, and we're going to get back to the storytelling. Mm. Again, Timber Barbecue Company established in 2025.
Oh.
So this is a new establishment.
New.
Reed Bowen, owner. And if y'all want to check them out, you can find them on Facebook at Timber space BBQ space CO.
We went to, took a cruise. It was just me and Bill and the girls. And we flew out of Birmingham, and there was some boys on that, two boys, and their mom and dad. Well, I don't know, we kind of got together, and the kids would do all their thing, and Bill and the guy wanted to go to the casino on the boat, mm-hmm. on the boat. And me and the wife sat, I don't do that. Bill gave me $20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had our little popcorn bowl because they gave us a little popcorn bowl. And every time she pulled it, money just fell. And she had about that much in her popcorn bowl, a bucket. Well, I didn't have no money. Mine done gone.
$20 is gone.
And nobody was around us. And I just reached over and done my hands, and I got big hands, and got a bunch of her change and put it in my bucket. Well, Bill walked up about that time, and he did say it there. He said, "Lucy, you can't do that." Said, "That's that woman's money." I said, "She don't care," but she did care, I think, because she didn't say nothing. But I would have shared with her.
Yeah.
If I had money in my bucket.
Yeah. And you didn't think a thing about it.
No. And then I lost all her money.
Oh.
So not only did he identify you've stolen this lady's money.
I didn't steal it. She didn't care.
She didn't care.
I thought.
Did she see you?
She did. Well, it was between her legs. Oh, the bucket was.
She saw it.
She probably noticed.
she knew it was missing.
And I got two handfuls.
Was and you, then you lost every one of them.
Oh, every bit.
Have you been since?
No, not
that too. That was good enough.
Yeah, Fred said that wasn't for me. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Yeah.
Well, that's the typical experience that you experience is a donation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't think she would care if I got some. I didn't ask her.
She probably wouldn't have if you wouldn't have lost all of it.
Or if you'd ask her.
Would have made it go smoother, at least, if you'd have won it back.
If I had that much in my bucket, I would have let her got
Did whatever. You tell her that?
No.
Oh.
No.
But it's fine.
What? Yeah. What? No need. I done it. Done. It's too late. It was in that machine. But boy, did I get scolded when I got in the room.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you ain't supposed to do that. But
you've not told us exactly how she reacted when you did do this, though.
She just looked at me.
She just gave you a good stare.
A little deadpan face. Like.
Yeah. She was mad. She wasn't my friend anymore.
I thought she didn't care.
Well, I could tell she got a little angry. But I didn't think she would care. I wouldn't have cared.
Right.
I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah, and I thought, well, if I had that much, I'd let her,
I'd let her
reach
have
in there
bit.
And get some.
Rich
Absolutely.
Right in there.
Absolutely. Speaking of names, we got two shout-outs this week.
Yeah, young
you
boy.
You do one, I do one.
Young boy we met at the Deer Show. His name was Gage. He said, hey, can you give me a shout-out on the show? Said, absolutely.
So Gage,
thanks for watching.
Your shout-out. We appreciate you watching. And then also, Mr. Marty Stover, who is with West Blunt Axe Throwing. I was on the phone with him the other day. He's building a hospital in Kentucky. And there's this little breakfast place that he goes to every morning since he's out there. And a guy asked him, said, where are you from? And he said, well, I'm from Alabama. He said, what part of Alabama? Well, I'm from a little town in Alabama. He said, well, what's the name of it? He said, Hayden. He said, oh, you're from where the Hayden, Alabama podcast is. He said, you know about the Hayden, Alabama podcast up here in Kentucky. So I want to give a shout out to Elliot Taylor from Greensburg, Kentucky. Appreciate you watching the show. It means a lot to us.
The barn and small pasture, more or less holding pasture, what we had was right up beside our house. And I had y'all ever had a truck that was possessed?
My mom had one. Was.
I really felt for a while this truck was possessed. It would unlock and lock itself while it was running. You'd be going down the road, the radio would turn up. So I was like, man, there's something wrong with this truck. Anyway, I got out and locked the gate. When I pulled through the gate and I shut the door behind me, and I knew better than to do that, but I locked the truck. Well, my spare key was at the house, and that's just right down the road. So dark was falling. I was like, it's no big deal. I'll just walk down to the house, get the spare key, and walk back. So I did. And that is at that time at least, was a very high traffic area for deer. They like to cross the road right there and jump up into the pasture. So I walked down to get the key. And all I've got now is a key in my hand. My phone is still in the truck that is locked up.
And running.
So I've got the key, and I can hear some stuff moving in the bushes off to my right as I'm making my way back to the truck. And I said, well, I'm going to have to hustle and get on back up there. So I start picking up my pace a little bit, and I hear two steps. Two steps on asphalt is all I hear before I get clocked from the right side, and I end up in the ditch. And all I can feel is a lot of hair. And I said, man, this super hairy man is attacked in me. He has come upon me. And all I have is a key to defend myself. So I put my arm up to defend the blows that are coming down and just start sticking with the key under that arm. Well, four or five hoofs, you know, to the arm and stuff later, I realized, hey, this is a deer. That I guess when I was crossing the road and she was crossing the road, we had to have just found each other and ran into each other. I don't know how it happened, but I was hollering for help. I was in fear for my life.
Black panther.
It could have been a panther or a really fuzzy man. I didn't know which one it was, but something was upon me that didn't need to be there anymore.
Y'all so, get off.
Yeah, get off me now. I'm... So
I'm just trying to unlock my possessed truck.
Yeah. So I am I'm sticking and she's clawing, and we are both in the fight for our life because we don't know what has a hold of either of us. I'm covered in mud and blood and soaking wet from landing in the creek and everything else. And she finally backs off and goes on into the pasture. And I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she died or not. Her house is right on the other side of the pasture. Mom and Dad were not home. She was the closest thing I had to help. So I knock on her door, and she's watching, and she says, spin the wheel of fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And she opens the door, and I'm panting,
mm-hmm.
covered in blood and mud and water. And she says, well, hey, hon, what happened to you? I said, did you not hear me calling for help? she said, well, no. I said, I likened to have died down here in this ditch with a deer. I unlocked my truck and went on back to the house, and I've been leery walking to stands ever since. You mm-hmm. know, I'm like, man, they're going to avenge. The they're going to avenge their fallen friend.
Now that is a bizarre story. I don't know how many deer attack stories I've ever heard.
Well, I've never been a part of one. I don't know I've ever heard of one. It happened to have been a freak accident that we just happened to find each other right there or something.
You may not have been able to see well, but she could.
Yeah.
I mean, they see just fine as far as I can tell at night.
Far as I know, too, because they've busted me many times walking to a stand in the morning.
No doubt. One more question. That spare key. I mean, were you really gigging that thing?
Oh, I was gigging it. I was in fear for my life. I was in full self-defense
mode. So you were trying to,
I was in fight or flight, and at that time, flight wasn't an option.
Yeah, she done took that off the table.
Flight was gone. I was a wingless bird. I had to start sticking. And that's all I had.
I couldn't go down there. If I'd hurt him, I'm scared of the dark. So it was just had to got him.
You just on your own in the free state of Winston, yeah. buddy.
That's all there was to it.
Mimi, I am not surprised.
I am very scared of the dark.
What do you think's out there going to get you?
I don't know. It just scares me.
You know, John F. Kennedy said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah.
And what's in the dark?
You already see my front yard. I've got a light as big as that thing right there. Pay $69 a month for it.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's worth every penny. It lights up my whole yard and the backyard, everything.
Y'all, Alabama Power came out and put this thing specially on her pole, and it is by request. It is a sure enough light.
It's bigger than a normal Dusted-On light.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have a Dusted-On light on the other side of the pole for the services our yard. And she has the spotlight off of a U.S. Navy destroyer that's strapped to the other side over there. There's no telling. That's probably why they've been having to run that third steamer down there at Miller mm-hmm. Steam Plant.
Power Mimi
searchlight in her yard.
I've got night lights in every room, which I don't have but three rooms. Yeah. So
that's peace of mind is worth...
Yeah.
That's right.
Worth a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
You got any more stories you want to tell with us, Mimi?
Well, I've run my mouth pretty good much, I think.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
I've had a good time.
I hope so.
Mimi was scared. She thought we was going to poke fun at her.
Yeah.
Have we poked fun at you?
I don't think you poked fun.
We ain't been ugly either.
Y'all ain't been ugly either.
No, we didn't sign up for that.
No.
Y'all ready to do a little scripture time?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Now, I want to warn you before we start this. This is a sensitive subject. But it's God's word. It's what Jesus taught mm-hmm. us. Matthew 5:27-30. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Mm-hmm. A little backstory, just like if you hadn't been part of this, I want to say this. The Pharisees have looked to Jesus, which are the religious elite, the Jewish religious elite. They've looked to Jesus and they've said that he has misinterpreted God's law. They're accusing him of that. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching them right here. He said, you know, you must not commit adultery, which is... a married man relating with somebody other than his wife or vice versa in a physical way. The Pharisees were very proud to say, we do not commit adultery because we're not committing that act. And Jesus says, oh, but wait, it goes deeper than that. If you even look at a woman, or if a man, or if a woman looks at a woman with lustful intent, you are guilty of adultery. So he took them from something they thought they were missing. I'm not doing that sin. And he said, well, have you ever looked twice? And he says it's so important not to do it that he relates it to, you know, we all love, if we got vision, we all love our eyes, we don't want to lose them. Mm-hmm. We all love our hands and our feet, we don't want to lose it. And he said it's better if you lose one of those things than to continue to commit the sin of lust, which is essentially adultery in the eyes of God. We're all guilty of that.
Right.
We're all guilty of that. And what I want to say is what we have to be careful of. We got a lot of guys watching the show. I would venture to say very few people find themselves just in the act of adultery as a first stage. I think we can, you could trail back all of that to one thing, and it was that second look that led to your mind thinking something else, that led to your feet going in that direction. So you can absolutely forego having to repent from adultery if we don't take the first step of lustful looks. And he said it's worth it to abstain from that. We all know how hard it is, if we're being honest. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it because he said it's better to not go to hell and to do it. But here's what I want to say, and it's going to be applicable next week as well, is God is a God of grace and mercy. He knows that we're sinners, and that's why Christ died. So if you have been guilty of the sin of adultery, God will forgive you. If you have been guilty of the sin of lust, God will forgive you. And one other thing, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome both of those things. And how do you get the power of the Holy Spirit? Through belief and faith in Jesus Christ. That's our first gift. Yeah. When you profess Jesus Christ as Lord, he said that he gives you the Holy Spirit. It dwells inside of us and it empowers us to overcome those things and be able to battle and not fail. Through his power, through his mercy and his grace. Tough message this week, but I think it's a good one. And it'll help you, no doubt.
You know, I've been doing a Bible study with a group at our church, and you were talking about that first look.
Mm-hmm.
You don't often catch yourself in the act on that first look. It's that second look. And I found myself, and this is from my experience, you know, just because like you said, it's not an easy thing to overcome, and we're all just as guilty as the next person. But I have found myself finding it a lot easier to overcome and a lot easier to catch myself and regulate myself when I surround myself with non-lustful things. And we have been doing a Bible study, and I promise this will tie in, but we've been doing a Bible study on thoughts, angry speech, and just lashing out. And we started just talking about verses that talk about our speech and how to watch our tongue, and now we've transitioned into a, well, if we replace all those hatreds, all those things that we surrounded ourselves with before with godly things, it makes it so much easier.
Amen.
If you start replacing it with those things. Like used to, I would, you know, I'd be scrolling Facebook or Facebook Reels about, you know, all day long. And now instead of that, most of the time at lunch, I do a lunchtime Bible study instead. Just go to somewhere that I haven't read before and try to do a study on it.
Right on.
That's my two cents on the subject. You, anything?
I like.
Oh yes.
Can I have that? Can you pass the mic?
I like about the first, kind of like the first look, like you were talking about, and even what you said about scrolling through really any social medias. People get numb to it. They'll see something and be like, "Oh, probably shouldn't see that. Oh well, it was there. Oh well, this. Oh you know, just oh well that, and don't think about it too much." Or have a thought or do something that they're like, oh, it's fine. It was just one time or whatever. People don't realize that one time turns into two to three. And then you're just like, oh, well, that's just how it is now. Or that's just how I am. Or you just make excuses. And you have to remember, people were like, he's saying that if your eye causes you to sin, like, take it away. Like, take it out. Like, it is such a big deal. It is so much bigger than people make it seem. They just oh, well, no, cut your hand off. Yeah. You know, like, you, mm-hmm. I feel like people don't realize how important our thoughts are in mm-hmm. leads. And
well, what you're speaking to, I didn't go into this. I did in the message on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But even if you, so logically, if you take your eye, one of your eyes out, mm-hmm. what do you still have?
Your other eye.
All right. If you cut one of your hands, one of your feet off, what do you still have? You have another one.
Mm-hmm. We still
Jesus
have
is not hands. Saying literally mutilate yourself.
Right.
He gets to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a heart issue.
Yes.
And if your heart's not changed, which is what you're talking about, what I interpreted what you're saying was a hardening of a heart.
It's exactly, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And that's what he's teaching. If you don't have a heart change, all the self-mutilation, you can do it all, but it's not going to help you.
It means right. nothing.
It means nothing. But what he's trying to teach them and everybody else is it's a heart change. This whole thing, you know, yeah. your heart has to be broken over your sinfulness to cry out for a Savior. Right. If your heart's not broken over your sin, I don't know if you're ever going to cry out for a Savior or even realize that you need salvation.
That's right.
So you know, he's getting deep. This whole Sermon on the Mount, you're talking about cutting me to the heart. Every word he speaks, just I'm thinking, man, I'm so glad that I got you because I am absolutely guilty time and time again.
The young man at our church has been doing the 40 reasons why people don't like you out of the book of Proverbs.
Which is a great title, by the way.
I told him Sunday after Sunday school, after we had our class and we did our... He's doing a few bullet points at a time, you know, and we're just working through it Sunday by Sunday. I told him, I said, brother, I said, you were tap dancing all over my toes this morning. I said, you were talking.
God's been telling you were talking.
Yeah. God's been telling my business again. Yeah. But if I may, the verse that I had today was Romans 12:2. And that says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's out of the New King James Version, but that's speaking straight to like what you were just talking about a transformation
yep.
through mm-hmm. us.
That's what it takes.
Absolutely.
You know, God didn't save you to leave you where you were.
Absolutely.
Right. It's a right. the whole, it's sanctification. It's a right. transformation process of being formed into the image of Christ.
Conscious transformation.
Which we're not going to get there on this side of it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But we should be getting closer.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed y'all. Y'all drove all the way from the free state of Winston, Lynn, Alabama.
In the United States.
In the United States
of
America.
Yeah.
One of the 50 states. So Shane and I are thankful for your stories,
we've
your fellowship.
We've enjoyed y'all.
Well, that's going to do it tonight, the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
You're I'm Mimi.
You're Mimi.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Allie.
We'll see you guys next week.